Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Greetings, friends, lovers, all of you, and welcome to another episode of the podcast that is dedicated to you. And I'm, of course, assuming that you're listening to this intentionally and at least have a passing interest in theatre in our wonderful region. It's for that reason I've given my podcast an unoriginal but descriptive title. Anyway, what kind of greeting is that? My name is Ray Tempesta, and in the absence of anyone better, or more likely anyone willing to take the job on, I am your host. If you've not tuned in before, well, why not? I'll wait for you to explain. Fair enough, but don't let it happen again, you hear? Now, the way the podcast works is simple, much like your host here. It's split into three parts. Part one is where I bore you senseless, telling you about the theatre-y things I've been up to lately. Part two is the main attraction, where firstly you get blessed relief from my voice, but you also get to hear from some guests who are far more interesting than me. Once I've pissed them off suitably, the interview ends and we move on to part three, where I take a brief look at some of the upcoming shows and audition opportunities in the region. That's all coming up, of course, but first let me tell you about my social media stuff. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast is omnipresent across social media, so do give the various pages a like, a follow, a share, or whatever. There's also a website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus the reviews I've written for the shows that I've seen. You can also use the website to get in touch if you'd like to be featured on the podcast as a guest, or if you'd like me to give you a shout-out. Anyhow, let's move on to part one, where in the absence of anyone who cares enough to ask me, as I sit here, all alone, forlorn in my desolate studio, I'm forced by absolutely no one to ask myself, Ray, what have you been up to theatre-wise lately? Well, thanks for asking, you strange little man. It's been incredibly busy lately. Since the last episode, I've seen three productions for which I've produced reviews. First, there was The Children, who I featured in the bonus episode last time out. And it was a stunning production. The stars aligned on this one, with three brilliant actors in Imogen Stubbs, Gillian Bevan and Michael Higgs, giving us a wonderful performance of what was admittedly very rich material in the script by Lucy Kirkwood. Tickets for that are still available via theatreroyal.org, and it's absolutely worth checking out. You will not be disappointed, and if you are, well, there's something wrong with you. I then reviewed an immersive experience in a shipping container of all places, which made use of binaural technology, whatever that is, but it was very impressive. The story wasn't the greatest, but it was a nerve-jangling, interesting experience nonetheless. It's called Darkfield Eulogy, and it's presented by Norwich Theatre's Beyond Stage. It's on until the 26th of March, and tickets can be booked via norwichtheatre.org. And finally, I took a punt on the opera and went to see Lucrezia Borgia at the Norwich Theatre Royal. Now, I'm by no means an expert in the opera, but this production by the English touring opera was incredible. I was blown away by the vocalist's ability to act through song, helping me to understand what was going on. I was delighted that the performance was so accessible to opera novices such as myself with the aid of screens translating the lyrics into English, and this will definitely give me the impetus to attend more operatic performances. The English Touring Opera's spring tour continues until the end of May, and there's still a few chances to see them perform in the region as they hit the Cambridge Arts Theatre and Snape Maltings Concert Hall in April, with their stable of three performances including Il Viaggio di Reims by Rossini and Giulio Cesare by Handel, alongside Donizetti's Lucrezia Borgia. Now, if you're so inclined, you can read the full review of all three productions on my website, eatpod.co.uk, and of course, do feel free to comment with your own views if you like, and share it too if you feel it worthwhile. Now, I'll be pretty busy this week as the production of Hobson's Choice that I'm involved in at Sheringham Little Theatre opens this week on the 23rd of March. I've loved the chance to meet and work with a whole host of new people, although I won't miss travelling from Norwich to rehearse. Anyhow, tickets for this lovely Lancashire comedy are available via sheringhamlittletheatre.co.uk. But anyway, enough about me. What about you? Do let me know on my social media channels what theatre-y things you've been getting up to lately and any shows that have impressed you lately or ones that you'd recommend I see. Now, let's move on to the main feature, and I'd like to introduce you to three members of a company who are embarking on a spring tour of their stage production of The Velveteen Rabbit. They are Lucy, Anna and Nuala, and they're part of Spinning Wheel Theatre, who are based in Suffolk. And they're about to hit a multitude of venues across East Anglia with their original show. So, without further ado, which is a shame because I do so enjoy an ado, let's have a chat with them, shall we?
Hello.
Hello there, Lucy, Anna and Nuala from Spinning Wheel Theatre. Now, before I begin in earnest, can you give us an introduction to Spinning Wheel and your role within the company for this production?
Yeah, of course. So Spinning Wheel is a rural touring theatre company that's been based in Suffolk and is going around Suffolk, Norfolk and kind of Cambridgeshire for over 10 years now, I believe. And this is the first show that we're putting on post-lockdown. So it's a very big, nice, eventful one because we were meant to do it, start rehearsals about a week before we went into lockdown a week after. So it's nice to be able to bring it back. I'm Lucy. I'm stage manager on this tour.
I'm Anna. I'm one of the actors.
I'm Nuala. I'm the other actor. And funnily enough, fun fact, this was done a fair few years ago and my twin sister played my role in it, and then I was supposed to take over in 2020.
Oh, right. So you mean it was done a few years ago by Spinning Wheel?
By Spinning Wheel, yes. And my twin sister was playing the same parts I'm playing. And then I got her offered the role because she was like, oh, I couldn't do it then the next time. So I took it, and then no one could do it because of lockdown.
Was that their insurance policy in case you dropped out during the run? And then they've got a sort of like for like replacement.
Yeah, I'll be like, do you remember? Get back.
Great. Well, we'll talk about the current production shortly. But first, could you give us an outline of some of the stuff that's gone before? And I'm obviously conscious that the company has been going since 2011. And well, you obviously won't know all of what they've done in the past.
So, well, Spinning Wheel started a very long time ago with productions. They did a production of Measure for Measure. They did a two-hander called Two, which toured around various pubs in East Anglia, which was fantastic as well. More recently, they had a Christmas show called A Christmas Carol, which is a lovely adaptation of the Charles Dickens novel. And similarly, has a very small cast, uses puppets, has very clever set and scenery to be able to fit into very small spaces. After Christmas Carol, they had The Secret Garden.
That my twin sister was in.
As well. that one had a cast of four. And they also, within that, have had programmes where they've had aspiring artists who essentially take on an apprenticeship role as an actor and get trained throughout the processes. They had that in Christmas Carol and Secret Garden. They also did a production of Casanova. I think they had an aspiring artist for that one as well. And, yeah, those are the more recent shows I can think of.
Yeah, it's a great way to get training on the job instead of having to fork out to go to an expensive drama school for 3 years, because in my experience I've trained in a drama school and yes, you learn a lot, but you learn so much more on the job. I think it's such a good way to invest in your local talent and get them in.
Before I went off and properly trained, I was also a production assistant on A Christmas Carol when they did that, and that was a fantastic experience. But yeah, all of the shows, the kind of Spinning Wheel touches the use of puppetry, clever set and scenery, in it being able to fit into rural locations. And also, maybe apart from Casanova, we're all very family friendly as well. There's kind of something there for everyone. But The Velveteen Rabbit is definitely more aimed at younger families, I think. It's a very sweet story. And I think there are probably a lot of grandparents as well who remember the story, and parents remember the story being told as a child. So it would kind of appeal to them as well from a nostalgic point of view.
Hmm. And how many productions have you each been involved with at Spinning Wheel Theatre?
Well, if you count 2020 with the no starter for this in 2020, two. But if not, one.
I met them through, they did a programme called Collab East, which was, I think it was last year, last autumn. We're in March, the autumn before. And they got kind of various creatives, young creatives from East Anglia. We all came together and it was kind of part sort of mentoring and part creating and devising a show all together, which we did at the Marina Theatre in Lowestoft. So, yeah, that was how I met Spinning Wheel. They're so, so lovely to work with. I really like the work they're doing, and rural touring is something that really interests me.
I've been them a long time because I'm from the area, and I did youth theatre with them when I was much younger. And I've done both the technical side and the performing side through that. So I've done various youth theatre productions with them, was a production assistant on Christmas Carol, And I've helped out with the research and development stage when Velveteen Rabbit, when they were first creating it, I came on board to help with that process as well. So I've kind of followed them all the way through from 10 plus years ago when they created the company. And I've just hung on as much as I can.
And since you mentioned Velveteen Rabbit, we might as well talk about the current production. Now, it's based on the children's classic book by Marjorie Williams, although I have to admit I can only vaguely recall having read it as a child and can only really remember some of the sort of basic plot points. So for those unfamiliar, like myself, could you explain what it's about?
Oh, without spoiling.
Yeah, well, that's a challenge. I think most people, well, I only knew the reference from Friends, which Friends episode where Chandler buys the Velveteen Rabbit. So I didn't know the story until the show. And I mean, the be-all and end-all of it is it's how when you're a child and you have your playthings and they become so real to you. And what does that mean? And it's very much this lovely new rabbit that comes along and then gets to be like the new favorite toy. And then whether or not the rabbit becomes real and what that means and all the different toys that you then come in contact with. And then funnily enough, like the politics of the toy box and stuff comes mm-hmm. into it, which is great. Very much top line what it's about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's got sort of Toy Story vibes. I don't know if I can say that, but
Disney thing that we're not good at.
Well, the Velveteen Rabbit was there first.
And I'd say also it's kind of been brought up to modern times a bit in terms of the kind of toys that you meet along the way. Like we have an Action Man in it, for example, which is like an updated from the original, but there's still the Velveteen Rabbit and some of the older toys are still in there from the story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spinning Wheel's adaptation of the story, does it vary from the narrative of the book at all?
It does a bit, yeah. There's definitely parts in it that involved fire and cooking, and that was cut. So it was slightly more uplifting. Like there's definitely little bits that are little tearjerkers, but generally it's very uplifting and sweet and nurturing sort of story. And yeah, because of the updated characters and updated toys, then there would be newer characters in it. But I don't think it strays too much from the general gist of the original story.
And you touched upon it a little bit earlier with mention of puppetry. I assume this production is ripe for puppets with the rabbits, of course.
Yeah, exactly. The puppetry and the what you can do with very little for the puppet, like for the puppetry, you don't want something that's going to be very heavy. You want to have very easily manipulative and easy to pack puppets yes. that you yeah. can then store in the set and not, you know, they're sturdy enough, they're not going to get wrecked, but equally can just spur your imagination. But I mean, I've done puppetry plenty of times and you can do that with a shoe, you can do that with a bit of newspaper, so it's obviously mm-hmm. much nicer than that. Becca has designed very nice puppets. So yeah, there's loads actually. You do a lot of it.
Yeah, I do. And I've not really done any puppetry before, so it's a big learning experience for me. Definitely embarrassed myself a few times, but yeah, it's great to
That's good now, don't worry.
And you mentioned that Spinning Wheel has done the Velveteen Rabbit before. Presumably the last one of it went well enough that you thought it was worth busting out again this time.
Yes. I
think it was quite well received.
Yeah, and I think also because it's not just a children's show, it also incorporates Makaton signing, and so it's very accessible. You know, some shows have relaxed performances or things like that. Well, this performance is just relaxed, and we're touring to library spaces and churches and schools, as well as some like more traditional theatre venues. And I think in areas like Suffolk, Norfolk, Cambridgeshire, actually, the cost and difficulty of getting into a town, finding paying for parking and all of those things, or worrying that your child isn't going to behave in a theatre, you know, you don't need to worry about those things with the show. And so I think that's why it kind of struck a really nice chord with the East Anglian community yeah. and is, you know, nice enough to bring back some years later when a whole new bunch of children are going to enjoy it.
And children who would have never had the theatre during the 2 years that we weren't able to produce theatre. So you get to have those like kids who are brand new and they haven't had any experience of it. So they probably won't know how to act in the theatre. That's kind of the whole fun of it. The whole point is you know, it's not set in the darkness with lights on the stage. It's very, very relaxed for everybody to actually get involved.
This is the boring but obligatory promo question. When is the Velveteen Rabbit playing and where? Having checked your website in advance, I can see it might actually just be quicker to say where it's not playing.
Well, I mean, we start on the 18th, so
it's Saturday.
Saturday, and we are, that's at Wilbraham Church, which I think is
Cambridgeshire area,
and it's almost getting close to being sold out, really.
It's a busy one.
But if you're near Bury, then Brandon Library is a good place to be. If you're in Norfolk, we're going all the way up to Holt, and we're also going to be at Holcombe Hall over the Easter holiday period as well. We're going to be there for 4 days. Quite nice. We'll be in Ipswich, the New Woolsey at their studio space, Chelmsford Library if you're more towards London Way, and we're also going down to Felixstowe, Lowestoft, kind of all extremities that you can find, and that's going on until the 16th of April.
Oh, fantastic. Now, companies like Spinning Wheel Theatre usually will have plans laid out well in advance, out of necessity, really, and plenty of other irons in the fire. So are you able to give us a bit of an outline of what Spinning Wheel is up to beyond the tour of the Velveteen Rabbit?
I think everyone's trying to do all the applications for all the funding and have ideas for hopefully doing like outdoorsy stuff and slightly bigger scale in the future. I don't know how close in the future, if that would be this year or next year, but
yeah,
there's some exciting plans that they've got.
Yeah, outdoor summer type things. Yeah. Definitely, I think next year would be a great thing to aim for. Mm-hmm. And if not, I mean, I believe Christmas Carol will probably come back again in the future at some point.
What do you think?
I think that's, I mean, if it isn't, I've said it now. Amy Becker has to do it.
Starting rumours.
Yeah. But I think that'd be nice one to bring back too.
Yeah.
And moving on to your own experiences in the theatre, and where did it start for each of you?
I'll start, shall I? I mean, okay, as you can probably hear from my accent, I'm not from here. I did a lot of cross-community amateur dramatics when I was living in Lisburn, just outside of Belfast in Northern Ireland, for my entire teenage years. And then I moved to London and trained at Mountview Academy of Theatre Arts. Sounds very posh. But funnily enough, I do a lot of work in Ireland. I've done a lot of tours with Bruiser Theatre Company, who are, again, very accessible, very rural tours, like doing, you know, relaxed-ish performances. I haven't done tons of stuff in England yet. So once I was offered this, I was like, yes, I get to be near where I live. Like, I've lived in London since, you know, I moved here in 2008. So it's like, please let me work in like regional tours and London. So I've kind of just come to it through that. And I, you know, was firstly thinking I'll be in musical theatre, but I've moved much more into the actor musician sort of role because I play a lot of instruments and do puppetry and love doing multi-roles. So actually quite jealous you get to do loads of roles in this. I get two, but Anna does about 17. So that's usually what I do. I'm like, oh, quite jealous.
Yeah.
So that's me. That's Nuala.
And I grew up locally. I'm from sort of Dedham, Manningtree kind of way. I didn't go to drama school. I went to UVA and did a degree there. Graduated about 5 years ago. I've just sort of started doing odd jobs, getting into it that way. I think what started me off loving theatre was actually Panto, because my parents would take me to see Panto at the Mercury Theatre every year, and I just loved it. I think that's what got me into it, really. But yeah, I've done a real mixture of stuff, and I feel like I've very much learnt on the job. So that's kind of been my drama school equivalent, I guess. I've just learned as I've gone along. But yeah, loving it.
For me, similar actually. So my family would always go to the Panto at the Theatre Royal in Bury, basically every single year. When I was younger, I used to think that it was like a travelling circus. I didn't understand how you would ever get to do that because it looked so much fun. And I eventually realised, oh, this is the job that you could do. Amazing. I did various youth theatre stuff in Bury with Spinning Wheel. And then I went on to do a degree in Liverpool at the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts. Yeah, sounds fancy, not that fancy. But I did applied theatre and community drama. So I did a lot of facilitation, working with community groups, directing theatre, creating theatre, but also had a bit more of a kind of all-round approach to creating, and did a bit of techie bits as well, which is why I think I'm enjoying this job so much, is that I am a stage manager, but I'm playing an instrument in one part, singing
in
one bit.
You're busy.
so it's has more of like an all-round experience. I was in London for a bit, and I was assistant director in a show there, which was fun, but I've now come back to Suffolk. I think there's just a lot of opportunities here to do stuff with communities, and I really enjoy that.
And what about your proudest achievement, or I don't know, favorite show that you've been involved in so far?
Well, my first job, I think, kind of spoiled me, because we had a cracking team. There's only four of us in the cast, and everyone got on. Like, everyone was best friends by the end of it, and actually kept in contact, because sometimes you make these wee families and then everyone moves on. You don't really get to speak to people as much.
But as opposed to this one, where you're just obviously not getting on.
But that was my first job, and that was 12 years ago, and it was just I love doing comedies, and it was Cooking with Elvis, if you know it, by Lee Hall, which is a farce. It's just, I mean, need you say more? It's Cooking with Elvis and it's a farce, and it was so funny. And just the tour was lovely, and so that was fantastic. And then getting to do get to be in a feature film was pretty cool and scary, but very much felt like, should I be here? I mostly do theatre, and this is scary, but it was fantastic. And we got to go to a screening at BAFTA for it, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? So that was pretty good highlight, which was just after 2020. Yeah, it was in 2021. So that was a nice little button on the end of not doing much for a year.
Well, one of my first jobs, I kind of started out doing more singing than acting. And I spent 6 months working in Egypt as a singer, which was pretty mad, because I'd never left Europe. I'd not really traveled. So that was really exciting. But I think I'm definitely leaning more towards acting, and that's kind of what I feel more passionate about. So probably, although that was a real adventure, I reckon my favourite one was my last job, which was with Eastern Angles last spring. Did their spring tour, and it was my first time doing proper rural touring. And yeah, I loved it. I thought I'd really love the shows in theatres, and then all the, you know, village halls and stuff, I'd be like, meh. But it was the other way around. I loved like going into a tiny, tiny village hall, and there's like, you know, 20 people there, and they've got a raffle in the interval, and someone's like set up a little bar at the back. And it's just, it's lovely. It's such a gorgeous like atmosphere. So yeah, that's something I'm really excited for this. But yeah, sorry, I'm rambling. But yes, that's probably my favourite.
Don't worry. If you ramble, I'll just edit the whole thing out. Anyway. It'll be like you never existed.
For me, I think my favourite, almost proud moment was probably very recently, back in November. I was just running an R&D workshop week for a play that I was developing, and I just really enjoyed having 3 days of being in a room, being really creative, and having peers respond very positively to something that I'd been, you know, mousing away at, you know, in a little hidden room writing for a very long time, and just being able to have that freedom to explore. I mean, it didn't pay me. In fact, I had to pay a lot of money to get into London for the whole week. But that was really kind of soul.
Is that food for the soul?
Food for the soul, yeah. So I really enjoy that. I need to do more of that once I've got the money to do it. But yes. Yeah, and I think that's why I've been doing rehearsals so much. I think that I enjoy the process probably more than the actual shows, to be honest.
Speaking of stuff that you need to do, what about bucket list roles or productions? Is there any of those for you guys?
Oh, I've got one. I've got two big ones. Maria in The Sound of Music, absolute dream. Also, I know lots of people don't like it because it's quite cheesy, but I would love to be the narrator in Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes, right. Love that. I had to sing it, that was too high.
It's very high.
Yeah, how about you? Mine's not really rules because there's, I feel like there's just, you can do loads with whatever. Okay, if you've got one line, there's not much you can do, but like there's loads of great rules. I just want to be in Shakespeare at the Globe. I want to be there doing whatever part. I know I'd probably be a Phoebe from As You Like It, but I'd love to be like Tybalt or Benvolio or Coriolanus or something. I'm like, I want something meaty. I want something hilarious. I want something mad. Because I never get to do a lot of Shakespeare. So it'd be nice to actually do it. People don't think you can if you haven't done it in a while. And I'm like, come on. It's like riding a bike. You can absolutely do it. So yeah.
For me, I guess, well, it's not really a role, but in terms of the three things I love to work on, I love to, it's probably, I mean, it's pipe dream stuff. I love to direct something on the stage of the Olivier at the National because it's so big.
So big.
Have like a massive cast, massive stage, just because I feel the opportunities there are just kind of endless of what you can do. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I want to work on a show that has no budget, as in like unlimited budget.
Yeah.
No budget. That would be fantastic. Realistic, perhaps not, but that would be great.
Would also like to work with Mischief Theatre because, you know, the play that goes on.
That'd be
right up my street. Farces, hilarious.
Yeah,
it looks really funny. If anyone's listening and they're casting a farce,
Nuala McGowan.
Noted, Nuala McGowan. That's fine. We'll
not
put that around.
Steve, that's the wrong win.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time, and good luck with the tour.
Thank you
for having us. So there we have it. That was Lucy, Anna and Nuala from Spinning Wheel Theatre. Now, if you want to catch the production of The Velveteen Rabbit at one of the multitude of venues they're playing across East Anglia, visit their website, spinningwheeltheatre.com. And of course, like any company worth their salt, they have a social media presence too, which is worth keeping an eye on for updates on where they're performing. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, in Cambridge, a production I forgot to feature weeks ago was Kiss Me Kate by Cambridge University Amateur Dramatics Club. It's halfway through the run now, but it finishes on the 25th of March at the ADC Theatre, and tickets are available via adctheatre.com. In North Norfolk at Sheringham Little Theatre, where I'm just about to perform, the Norwich-based improv comedy group Intellectual Hooligans will be performing their brand of comedy on the 8th of April. Tickets for that are available via sheringhamlittletheatre.com. Now, if you want a bit of improv comedy but Norfolk's not convenient for you, then how's Suffolk? Company I featured on the podcast a month or so ago, Insert Laughter Here, will be performing their comedy show at the Fisher Theatre in Bungay on the 14th of April. Tickets for that are available via fishertheatre.org. Now, elsewhere, Don't Go Into the Cellar Theatre Company are touring their production of The 39 Steps, and they hit the Madder Market in Norwich on the 4th of April. And finally, also in Norwich at the Madder Market, Echo Youth Theatre will be opening their production of Little Shop of Horrors on the 12th of April, and it runs until the 15th. Now, tickets for both the 39 Steps and Little Shop of Horrors can be purchased via maddermarket.co.uk. And that, folks, is all I have time for. As usual, I'll feature links on my social media accounts for all the shows mentioned, as well as a few others that I haven't. Thanks so much for listening to me and the guys from Spinning Wheel Theatre ramble on. And tune in next time to hear from the director of Suffolk's Irving Stage Company ahead of their upcoming production. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye!